Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to be up here this morning. And today's a special day. We are here to celebrate some great accomplishments of our graduating seniors. And I'm thankful for Rob and Sarah and little Adeline. Rob has just blessed us abundantly in his preaching series that he's been doing. He just proclaims the word with such simplicity, but yet with such boldness. And I'm just thankful that they're part of our team, and he deserves a day off. And he asked me a while back if I would do this Sunday, and I was thrilled, because as a youth minister, I love young people and I want to challenge them. And hopefully this morning there'll be some challenging things in the message so that they will take them and go and be disciples of Jesus out in that world. Joshua is the book I'm going to be in. I'm going to be in Joshua chapter 4. And Joshua is a great, great book for new beginnings or new chapters in life, because we see Israel finally moving into the promised land. And in chapter 4, the priests have set their feet in the raging Jordan and the waters part. And we're going to be in Joshua chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 1. We're going to read that chapter. And I want you to speak, we're thinking about these things, and as I'm challenging our graduates, I would like for you to go back in your mind and think about the time when you were graduating from high school, or maybe graduating from college, because we have some of those here this morning as well. I want you to think about what you were feeling as you entered this new chapter in your life, this new beginning, and maybe some of the emotions you were experiencing. So let's read this story in Joshua chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. They carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the Ark of the Lord and the priest came to the other side while the people watched. The men of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh crossed over, ready for battle, in front of the Israelites as Moses had directed them. About 40,000 armed for battle crossed over before the Lord to the plains of Jericho for war. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the covenant law to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priest, "Come up out of the Jordan." And the priest came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan, camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken from the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, When your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Think there's some emphasis here? God is, he's repeating these things. He's saying the importance of these things. Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. It is one of the most climactic events in biblical history. The Israelites had waited 40 years, but now the time had come. Graduates have been waiting 12 years. Now the time has come, right? The Israelites will march across the riverbed of the Jordan, which was opened for them by the miraculous power of the God. I had to get this picture up. This is what the Jordan looks like at flood stage. Can you imagine when they walked up to it? What they might be thinking? I think probably our graduates are walking up to this and they're looking out at this big world and they may kind of see this going on. I think it's kind of the way it is. You remember that? I remember that. I remember graduating and thinking, oh my, what have I got myself into? I'd rather just lay around at home, let my mom feed me, you know, and even go to school, you know, but then you face the world, face university life. I went to UT and I remember going on campus the first day thinking, oh my, what in the world have I done? Here I am at this place where there's 40,000 people and I'm just one little person, and it was just so huge. It looked like this to me. It must have felt surreal for the Canaanites. Now, a new chapter begins in their life. Before them lay a land richer than their dreams. This is the land that God promised, flowing with milk and honey, more fruitful than their hopes, more beautiful than their imagination. Remember, they've been in the desert and they come to this beautiful land. And now it is theirs by God's steadfast promise. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a new chapter in their lives. Our graduates probably have envisioned what moving into the adult phase of their lives would be like. Many of them maybe have already been planning for it. Whether they're going to college or going to work, they've been gearing up for that. They've imagined what it would be like to step out on their own, and now they have crossed the river of adulthood. And we rejoice with them, but we know it's going to be a challenging thing. For the Israelites to be the fulfillment of an ancient promise to Father Abraham must have been kind of overwhelming. These were the people of the promise. Just as the hopes and the dreams of the parents of our graduates are being fulfilled in these young men and women that we're going to honor today. I'm sure they're feeling, like I said, somewhat overwhelmed in the new chapter they're beginning in their lives. But let's go back to the Israelites for a moment. When the Israelites arrive at the Jordan, they find it's at flood stage, menacing and dangerous. The river's impassable, it's crossing impossible. What do? They listen to God. Graduates, you have the word. Listen to your God. God intervened. As soon as the priest's feet touched the water, they stepped out in faith, performing a miracle that paralleled the miracle of the Exodus from Egypt. God rolled back the waters of the Jordan River just as he had done with the Red Sea. And I imagine there were songs and shouts as God people worshiped and exulted in him. But there was also one important act that calls for our attention this morning. After Israel crossed, God gave Joshua some very specific instructions. After they crossed, he told them to choose 12 men, one for each tribe. They took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, and they carried them to where they spent the night, eventually to be set up at Gilgal. Joshua did exactly what he was told to do. Sending these select 12 men back to the riverbed of the Jordan where they were to bring back the 12 stones that at one point were buried, unreachable, covered by a challenge to the faith of God's people, but now they were divinely accessible. Stones from the middle of the river. 12 men hoisted heavy stones to their shoulders from Jordan's floor, piled them together in the promised land by God's command. They were stacked there as a sign, an unmistakable marker at the very place where God had demonstrated his power to overcome any obstacle to his will. God was working and showing his glory. Graduates, he will do that in your life. Because stones don't naturally stack, there would come a day when Israel's children would ask for an explanation of this phenomenon. And here's the answer. Tell them the story of how the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Lord's Covenant when it crossed the Jordan. The Jordan's waters were cut off. This is what happens when the impossible meets the promises of God. Why did this happen? It happened to serve as a testimony to all the people of the world. It is a testimony to God's power and might and His working in the life of the Israelites, a flawed people, just like we are flawed. And He works in our lives. This morning, our graduates are facing that flooding river we call the real world. It looks overwhelming. It may look impassable. It hides treacherous dangers beneath its surface. We parents, as parents, know what this world is like, don't we? So how do you graduates navigate these treacherous waters? There's only one way. And that one way is with Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the way you navigate it. In Him, you find the promised land. A kingdom that is not of this earth, that will help you fight the battles of this earth. Just as the Israelites overcame their enemies of the promised lands, with Jesus, we are victorious. And you will be as well. Remember, they went into that land and there was giants in the land. There were fortified cities. They went in to this beautiful promised land, knowing that there would be battles ahead, but who fought for them? The Lord fought for them. He will fight for you too. And I'm not talking to just our graduates. I'm talking to every one of us sitting here. The Lord is our fortress. He is our stronghold. And the Israelites set up 12 stones of remembrance to remind them what God had done. And we have a stone of remembrance as well. And we remember what God did for us, what we just took, the Lord's Supper. And that stone is Jesus. He is our stone of remembrance. Every time we take the bread and the fruit of the vine, we are reminded of the victory that has been won for us. He has disarmed the powers and authorities of this dark world. He has triumphed over them through the cross. That's something we all need to take and remember every single day, because in essence, every single day is a new chapter for us as Christians as we walk into the world. It serves as a testimony to the world of God's justice and His mercy. It serves as a reminder of our calling to serve the Lord Jesus. This is the outcome when the implausible comes up against the glorious riches of God in Christ Jesus. It is time, graduates, for the seeds of faith that have been planted in you, those seeds of faith in Christ, it's time for them to grow. It's time for them to grow in your heart so that you begin to live out your faith. And your parents plant those seeds, but that faith is your faith. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame." Look at that promise we're given. Now, to those who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It's time for a new chapter. You are living stones. They took 12 stones out of the river and set them up to be what? A reminder of what? God's power. We take with us the living stone, Jesus Christ. And as I was talking with Debbie about this, we were having a meal and I was talking about my lesson and everything, and boom, it just kind of hit me. Something that I hadn't thought of as I was preparing the lesson. Do you realize, graduates, that you're like those 12 stones? That your lives, because you carry the stone, that precious stone that is Jesus Christ, you are living stones that people will see and they will praise God because of you if you live for Jesus. When you live for Jesus, you are that Ebenezer. You become a place where people will say, "Man, that person's different. There's something different about them. They love unconditionally. They don't judge me. They love me and they show me something beautiful. They show me who Jesus is, what He's really like." We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are living stones, and you are being built into a house. And sometimes you're piled there together. And people say, "Wow, there's the power of God in a life." This morning, we want to honor them, and we're honoring them as a part of the message because I believe their lives are a testimony of faith. And I'm going to get Alan to come up and get the graduates to come up, and I'll let Alan give directions from there, and we will close our lesson after he presents the Bibles. Come on up, Alan. These graduates are going into a new land, and we're excited for them. But as we said, there are going to be giants in the land. And I refer back to David. And when he defeated the giant, he went to the river and he got 5 stones, right? But how many did it take for him to take down the giant? 1. We have the stone, the living stone, Jesus Christ, who can take down any giant. He can take down anything that stands in our path. And when life gets overwhelming, we have to remember what He's done for us. We have to remember the great salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We have to remember the hope. 1 Thessalonians says that we don't grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We have hope in our living stone, Jesus Christ. He is the victor. And when we live for Him, we are victorious too. There may be someone who is beginning a relationship with Jesus, and maybe they've made a decision that they want to follow Him. The waters of baptism are open, and we would be glad to assist you. Maybe you have felt like the giants have overwhelmed you. Maybe you haven't been depending on the stone, and maybe you just need prayer. Have our elders pray with you. Whatever your need is, God will meet that need, and we are to be His hands and feet, to put our arms around you and to encourage you. I remind you again that at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We all need a Savior. Every one of us needs Jesus Christ. And if you have a need, that we just want to share the hope. Share the hope that Jesus gives to us each and every day. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, thank You for our graduates. As Robert prayed, blessings on them and on their parents. But Father, I pray for the church, that we will depend on our living stone, Jesus Christ. That as we face the giants in the land, we will let You go before us and do battle. Cover us with the armor that can only come from You. Let us be strong in You and in Your mighty power, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone has a need, please come as we stand and sing.